Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're on.
We're live.
Yep, the Facebook Live is now live.
Facebook Live is now streaming. If you haven't watched on Facebook Live before, you can find us on Facebook Egg Chasers. You can see the Rugby Dungeon. You can see us. We're all in our British and Irish Lions stash. We didn't even organise this, but we all recognise that 2017 is a Lions year.
It is exactly.
The year of the Lion in the Chinese calendar, I'm pretty sure.
Is that right?
Every 4 years, Chinese
there we
calendar.
Go.
Yeah. Yeah, this feels right. Feels right on this. Happy New Year, JB.
Happy New Year, Tim.
Happy New Year, Phil.
Happy New Year, Tim.
What did you do, boys? Lots more whiskey. We were talking last week about how much whiskey you've been consuming over
right,
Christmas.
Right, yeah. Okay, so I've got a quick story about whiskey. I was driving home yesterday, and for the first time in my life, I was like, I could do with a drop of whiskey. It's a slippery slope, you know. It's a really slippery slope.
I did have a lot more wine and quite a lot of whiskey on New Year again. It is.
I can go for a drop of whiskey now if you want to.
No, you're talking, Jay.
We've got some brews and Canterbury cups, but maybe just a drop here or there.
Well, I tell you what, for our first podcast of 2017, we've got some meaty topics to talk about. There is the England EPS. I always think, if I say England EPS squad, I'm saying squad.
Yes, yeah. You are.
Like so, an ATM machine.
Like, yeah, pin.
Yeah.
Or
pin number.
Pin number, yeah. What's your pin number? What's your personal identification number?
PI number it should be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it should be. So England EPS, we've got all the games from the weekend in the Avicii Premiership Pro 12 and Top 14. There were some interesting moments in some of those games as well. We've got a transfer merry-go-round officially, because no club has had any conversation with any player until now.
Definitely not.
The new laws that come in this week as well. And breaking news. I mean, we're doing this podcast on Bank Holiday Monday. That's just the way it happened. But as it happens, we're doing this podcast not much more than 1 hour after the news that Richard Cockerill is no longer director of rugby at Leicester Tigers. That's a seismic shift in the landscape of English rugby, and that and much more to get on with. So we better get our hands in and pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Thank you very much for listening to this, the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We're just three fans that love the game, and we are now in, what year did we start this? 2013?
Yeah,
it was September or October 2013, so we're in our fourth calendar year of doing the podcast. So thank you very much, whether this is your first one, we get new listeners all the time, or whether you've been with us since the very start.
250,000 listeners last month, Tim.
Wow. There you go. Wow. That's more than the attendance to the entire Avicii Premiership.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of mind-blowing sometimes.
Even on a week when you've got Big Game 9 or Big Game 8,
yeah,
it's more than the league attendance.
Which is quite impressive.
Well, yeah. So thank you very much for listening. Tell your mates, leave a review on iTunes, which we have got some of those, which I'll share with you some right now. You just dead easy. If you're on iTunes, just go and leave a review there. It'll take you 1 second. A 5-star review was left by Rory98Wasp, who says, the podcast has the razzle-dazzle of a Wade Cipriani celebration. However, most of their opinions are as questionable as a Kirtley Beale yellow card on debut. All good laughs and nearly as entertaining as listening to a Nigel Owens lecture or Andrew Hoare asking whether they can tackle Din Kada. Thank you very much for that review. iTunes, you can find us on Acast. Just subscribe and then every episode will be delivered straight to you. So Richard Cockerill then, where were you when you heard the news?
Where was I? This is like when Princess Diana died. It's exactly the same. You remember exactly where you were.
Yeah.
What was I doing? I was rearranging my model aircraft collection, actually. And then I got the news through. And, I'm not that surprised, actually.
No. I think some people might be surprised that it's happened now.
Yes.
Yeah, the timing is interesting.
In the middle of a really tough three-game schedule. I mean, they're... Right, let's just... There are some mitigating circumstances, I think, for Richard Cockerell. He has had incredibly rotten luck with injuries. I don't know whether there's anything that they're doing that other clubs aren't, that are contributing to the injuries, but Vianu's been out for absolutely ages.
That's a concussion issue, that one.
That fullback position, Matthew Tate.
Yeah.
Manu Tuilagi's only just recently been back.
And Tamua.
He's back out again. Matt Tamua. I mean, there is four.
Oh, JP Peterson.
JP Peterson, five first choice, top class.
International caliber backs. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've said it before. Cockers might be a good guy. I think everyone agrees on that. He might be a very good coach.
I would go one further. The way you feel about Steve Diamond, I feel a little bit about Richard Cockerell. And I really, really, really like the guy.
And I don't think you're wrong about it either. There's a thing about Richard Cockerell, which is if they'd have done this to him 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I'd have been 100% behind it. I've been calling for him to be fired for a little while. Not because he's a bad guy or anything like that, but first and foremost, I thought in his first few years, he was inexperienced and Leicester didn't do too well. Then you had the injuries. Now, the injuries aren't actually a new thing. Do you remember when London Irish went up to Leicester and beat...
Yes, about two seasons ago.
Yeah, two seasons.
Yeah, we had Jeb Sinclair on the podcast straight after.
Yeah, so 17-10 or something like... No, it wasn't 17-10. It was the last kick of the game.
And it was London Irish's first win there in 50-odd years.
Yeah. And me and you both had a tenner on it, and we got 6 or 7-1, something like that.
So this has been going on for a long time, and I think when you do things like pay Manu silly money and get two games of him out of him every 3 years or whatever it is, it's just not good business. And I wonder if this firing of Cockers is going to be a shift from having a coach's director of rugby to someone a little bit more in tune with the finances of the game, and then letting
coaches
coach. So
you think there'll be a more recruitment role above coaching, and then a head coach?
Absolutely.
Isn't that like Rob? I mean, I know Rob Baxter's job title is head coach.
Is that right?
I think
it's director of rugby.
I know some of them in the Avicii Premiership are head coach rather than director of rugby, but I was going to say Rob Baxter, even if he was head coach, he still recruits the players. But that's interesting. I mean, we've talked about the backs, but equally, they've hardly got any game time out of Marcos Aiertsa, out of Longo Mulapola.
Yeah.
Who's the other?
Tom Croft. Is there.
Yeah, goodness.
I mean, they have shot themselves in the foot by... It shows a level of optimism in, you know, you've brought Manu Tuilagi through your academy and into your first team. Tom Croft the same.
Yeah.
Oh, let's keep... It was the same with Lewis Moody back in the day. Oh, he'll come good. But actually, they've probably thrown good money after bad, you could argue.
I completely agree.
It's very easy to say that with hindsight, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
If Tuilagi 12 months ago had got fit, got over his injuries and had 12 months of continuous playing... It would have been a very different story. But unfortunately, now with hindsight, it's very easy to say it was the wrong decision.
I mean, there's two things that really confuse me, which is, one, once you've invested your time into Richard Cockerell, which they have, 4 years down the road, everyone seems to agree he's a very thoughtful, very good director of rugby now, far more so than he was 3 years ago, or 4 years ago. That's the first thing. So I kind of think they should have stuck with him. Second thing is, they must have had this planned fairly in advance. When you're talking about Leicester Tigers, you're talking about the most successful club team in English rugby history. You're also talking about one of the best run clubs. So I can't imagine they fired him just on a whim. This must have been coming regardless of what happened yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that's right. You can't just... I said it last week. You can't just make this kind of decision on the back of one result, particularly not when you're playing the champions, the best team in the Premiership.
It does make you wonder then, what is going to be the next step? Are they going to just appoint Aaron Major? Because that was apparently the original plan.
It was very interesting listening to Lewis Moody talk a couple of weeks ago on TalkSport 2. And he was saying, from his perspective, he thinks there's a real conflict between the way that Richard Cockerell wants to play the game, which is this kind of forward-dominated, spend your money on your tight five, keep it close, attritional style rugby and the way that Major wants to play the game, which is with the intent of having more free-flowing, backs-orientated, skills-orientated game. And he said he thought it should go either one or the other, so he couldn't see both of them being there. Well, and this points to that more free-flowing
style.
So what
do we think the landscape will look like? Both, well, okay, let's deal with who... So you think Aaron Major's going to be given the reins and it's his ship?
I think probably closer to what JB said, where Major takes complete coaching control. So team selection, coaching, skills, game plan and strategy. But they bring someone with more of a kind of overview, accountant almost.
Stuart Lancaster.
He's
never done that job though, has he?
Lancaster's doing more of the coaching role now, and he seems to be enjoying it more and more successful.
One name that's already been mentioned, Dean Richards.
That would be a horrific appointment.
Because again, you get the conflict between Richards and Major.
Yeah.
I think you have
to
give...
Oh, no. Yeah, you'd have to give... What I'm saying is they would hand the keys to Dean Richards, a legend of the club.
Yeah.
Oh, Dean Richards, sorry. I thought you said Dean Ryan.
No, Dean Richards.
That's not a bad shout. I mean, what did they describe him as on BT Sport on the weekend? One of the all-time great squad builders. And it'd be quite funny to watch him bring back... Gonover. That might happen. It's not a bad shout.
He's coaching with then squad building as well. I see him as a foot in both camps, which is great for a club like Newcastle. But with a bigger club and a bigger budget, I think you want the squad builder and then the coaching
separately.
I don't
think we've seen a true director of rugby yet, which sounds ridiculous. But the only one I can think of in that structure that does less coaching and more directing of rugby would be someone like Humphreys at Gloucester. He spends the majority of his time at kind of board level. And then the coaches...
Laurie Fisher is the main coach.
So I think he might be the more...
Gary Gold did that for a little while, didn't he?
Yeah, that worked well.
So did Diego Dominguez at Toulon. Yeah. There's a consistent theme in that little picture there, isn't it? Mike Ford. So it has already been said, Mike Ford to Leicester and he'll take George Ford with him.
No, because George Ford can't sign for anyone that Bath doesn't want him to sign for. That will be the end of that.
Yes, so I don't think Richard Cocker will be out of the game long. I think the guy would be dynamite on the telly. We've talked about this before on the podcast, haven't we?
Yeah. It's not only you. I mean, think most of BT Sport thinks that, don't they?
He's a very highly regarded man, just generally, I would say. So, I think his opinions would be fantastic. However, I think he will want to get back into the game in a coaching/director of rugby capacity. Where do we see him popping up? You've already mentioned David Humphreys at Gloucester. Pressure's piling up on him, especially with the money of Altrad coming in and the expectations being raised. Worcester, Carl Hogg, is looking vulnerable as well. I think both of those would be a great fit for Richard Cockerell.
Or Quinns, perhaps.
Ooh.
Kingston, who stepped up from doing a forwards coaching role to a director of rugby role.
Now, what are we saying? That there could be a director of rugby merry-go-round going on?
Definitely.
Definitely.
There we go.
Right, so let's try and turn that vol down just a little bit. There we go. Okay, let's just say, quick as we can, we're going to say end of the season, John Kingston won't be in that role.
Yep,
agreed.
David Humphreys won't be in that role.
Yeah.
No, I think he will.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Carl Hogg at Worcester?
He's in a kind of interim role anyway, so no, he won't be in that role.
Okay, so Richard Cockerell available. Where's the best fit for him, do you think? I think Worcester.
Worcester is a good fit.
Hang on. Doing what, though? That'd be the question. Doing what? And I think he needs to decide what to do also. My personal feeling is he'll stay on the telly. But if he does go back into it, I don't think he's going to be a director of rugby again. Or, more to the point, he shouldn't be a director of rugby again. He should be a forwards coach.
Or
a head coach.
That's a step down for. I think he will go because he's now got experience of that director of rugby role. And you said it yourself, he's grown in that role. I think a fresh start somewhere else with a fresh coaching team underneath him, I think he could do that.
And a checkbook. So Gloucester and Worcester, both big checkbooks. But but the word is Philippe Saint-André to Gloucester. That's
really
that's now. Can I just tell you why this is the worst idea anyone's ever had? Philippe Saint-André can win games. He has won games. In fact, he's won French titles. He's even won an English title.
Yeah.
Okay. So what he does can work on this proviso that he has the biggest, strongest pack available to him, and he's very, very direct. in the world of the salary cap, you cannot. I don't think there could be an English Toulon. I don't think there'll ever be an English Sale ever again. He can only operate if he's given a much bigger budget than everyone else. Because in a world of parity, as you saw with France, he is useless.
In France, he just got the biggest pack and the biggest backline you could possibly find, and that was it.
Yeah.
There was no game plan, no strategy, no thought behind it. It was just size over everything.
And that is basically...
And it failed.
That is uncapped rugby, if you like, because you can pick anyone you want, regardless of talent.
Just going back to Leicester, my general feeling is that there isn't going to be a sudden turnaround in fortunes just because it changes whoever's running the ship. I actually think with the mitigating circumstances, some of which Richard Cockerell brought upon himself by spending a lot of money on people that he's not getting value from. So that's of his own doing. But they don't have the spending power in comparison to other teams that they used to have. It's not going
to
suddenly...
Well, they're not allowed to. That's more of a point. Yeah. They're just not allowed to.
No, they're not allowed to, and that's fine, and that's as it is. I actually think Worcester Quins would be both good fits for Richard Cockerell because he's got a proven track record of bringing through academy players into his first team. Both of those clubs pride themselves on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What he would bring to Quins would be the hard edge that they're lacking in their pack.
How many bets are you getting that from Roundtree, though?
Meant to, but I mean, their scrum was soundly beaten by Worcesters this weekend.
Yeah, I flip-flop on Quins a lot because they win at home. Think, oh, they're great. They just beat Saracens and they lose against Worcester.
Much like Leicester.
Yes, actually, that's a very good point.
Yeah, so maybe it's not the best fit. Maybe somebody who can win away at Quins.
But I think Quins should have cleaned house at the start of the year.
Yep.
Not because the guys there are bad guys or anything, just because they've had 10 years or I don't know, 8 years of Conor O'Shea and that crew and just start again.
It's kind of more of the same, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Right, so let us know what you think on Richard Cockerell. I'm going to sort of pepper the podcast today with some brilliant 2017 rugby predictions that we've had sent in on Twitter. I tweeted this out on New Year's Eve and just said, and we've had some that have come in since. So some you can still tweet us your hashtag 2017 rugby predictions. For example, James Nicholson says, "Hi lads, tests will show in 2017 that Maro Itoje is a secret IRB genetic experiment to create the perfect rugby player."
Perfect person.
Yeah, perfect man. And Paul McGreal says, "George North passes an HIA after being the first recorded player taken out in the air from a grubber kick. He still fails to remember his own birthday." And Jerry O'Donovan, "Despite suffering relegation, JB will continue to claim Say are the best attacking side in the Avicii Premiership."
Tell you what, they attacked well this weekend. did you see it?
Yes.
Do you not think that first nearly try by Charnley was awesome?
I thought they did two very good things. The nearly try by Charnley and the actual try, which was like a mirror image for Solomona. Their other two tries were, one was a penalty try and one was a pushover when Bristol were both down to 14 men.
Yeah. Jordan Gilman, "The All Blacks are set a world record for the most tape picked up in a season." Ollie Luffied says, "Steve Diamond to recruit Martin Afire to play 10 and Big Earl Crabtree as 9 as Sale's halfbacks misfire again." Oh,
it's not a bad
man.
Shout, actually, considering their current options.
Yeah.
Gary Neville and, someone else.
Anyone.
2017 rugby prediction from Pencils Up My Nose on Twitter: "French sighting officers belatedly discover a backbone and cite face dancing Uge and football-esque actor Pascal Pape, who both apologise."
Never going to happen. That's the least likely of all of them.
And leading into our next little talking point, Sam Clark says, "England to finally pick a Newcastle player, but it's in their 300-man squad." And then he says, "Actually, no, that's just too ridiculous." The England EPS, Eddie Jones has selected two squads, a 33-man squad ahead of the Six Nations and a wider 45-man training squad.
So, hold on, sorry, just to be clear, is that a 35-man and a 45-man? Or is it 35-plus?
The 45 includes the 33, so it's 33 and an extra 12 men.
Yes, 33 for the training camp in Brighton this week.
Yeah.
And then the 45...
What is it about Brighton? Second time they've gone down there now.
Yeah. Accessible.
To who?
People in London.
Yeah.
And the South West.
To the vast majority of the squad. It's,
yeah, London and the South West. It's kind of equidistant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, well, so it's not. It's further east than London.
Then.
But anyway.
Now, I don't know who's in the EPS, so why don't you tell me?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of the usual names. I think they're probably just picking out some and maybe a few talking points on some of the surprises. Ellis Genge out, Nathan Catt in.
Yeah, good. That's an interesting one.
I know nothing about Nathan Catt other than David Flatman loves him. And
he's had a terrible year or so with injury.
Yeah,
but it's
a terrible
few years with injury. Highly rated, seems to be fit and playing regularly. Well, got concussed at the weekend, however, but scrummaging-wise, he's a bit of a beast.
Well, they've got this thing, haven't they? This kind of machine which the props hit and it records their power. Apparently, Nathan Catt is a monster.
But he's also incredibly fit.
Yeah.
One like Matt Mullen.
Yeah. But hasn't he leapfrogged Matt Mullen? Is Matt Mullen in?
Mullen is also in the 33.
Oh, he is in
because Marco Vanipola is injured.
So Nathan Catt has jumped ahead of Matt Mullen. Straight.
Well, they're both in. Mullen and Catt are both in the 33 man.
Yeah, but only one of them is no. But the assumption is from the EPS, the way it's written down, is that if Marco Vanipola was fit, Matt Mullen would be the one that dropped out.
Okay.
Because it says star injury replacement for Marco Vanipola.
One of the starred players.
I think one of them is.
Yeah.
Actually, that anyway, I think that's the case. Elsewhere, Tommy Taylor stays above Luke Cowan-Dickie at hooker.
He does.
That's
fine. Yeah, Dickie's in the 45, but Tommy Taylor's in the 33.
Yeah. In the second row, it's interesting. Like Joe Launchbury, even though he's out, he'll miss the start of the Six Nations, he's out of the 33-man squad. But other players who will also miss a bit of the Six Nations or may not be fit in time. It's a bit weird anyway.
Do you think that's to do with strength and depth in that position?
Yeah, I think it probably is. It's just he's sort of fudging it to get the people he wants.
Yeah. Now, who has replaced him?
Charlie Yules.
Why not Dave Attwood?
Dave Atwood's not in the 45-man squad.
What? What does he need to do?
I know.
Well, I think it's probably like the Danny Cipriani situation where Eddie Jones came out and said, Cipriani's not a number three fly half, so he's not going to be happy or able to fill that number three role, so I'll only consider him if he's going to oust Ford and or Farrell.
I'm with you.
So I think it's possibly like that with Atwood.
Yeah, because he's getting on a bit, isn't he? What, 28 or something?
I mean, he'll still be young enough by the World Cup.
Yeah, but
he's playing brilliantly.
Yeah,
I mean, he really is.
Yeah, he is.
I'll give you a England bolter, not a Lions bolter, but an England bolter, a guy who I was incredibly impressed with, and he has to be considered soon. Zach Mercer for Bath. I mean,
he's only 19.
He is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, he had 1 minute in the Exeter game where he just looked like a world beater. I think the fifth minute, he does two amazing things. Yeah, a little dummy, and he did something else.
If he keeps his athleticism and you know, like Maro Itoje did, put on a fair few kgs in mass, he could be a real force years to come.
He's so skillful.
Marcus Watson as well.
Yes.
As a wide man finisher, he's an exciting prospect. There's talk of him going to Wasps.
That would be a nice fit.
It would be a nice fit. I mean, he had a little hitch step, didn't he, around the edge of Miller.
Miller.
That was straight off the Sevens paddock,
wasn't it?
Yeah,
and apparently, he's not even the talented one. I couldn't believe it. There's a better Watson out there.
Well, that's the big talking point in the England DPS. Let's jump straight there because it's in the back three, the big talking point. Alex Good is out.
Yeah.
And I did mention this the other week on the podcast, Tim, and you didn't like it, which was I think they're just going to skip a generation with Alex Good. I think they've got Mike Brown. They've kind of got Alex Good, who's a little bit younger, but they're just going to skip down to Mike Haley.
No, I think it's Daly and Watson.
Maybe.
And Noel.
I think those...
Not Mike Haley?
Oh, no, I think Mike Haley is there, but I think if you're thinking pecking order, I don't think it's about missing Good out. I think it's actually about saying, I think Daly, Noel and or Watson in my back three. I'd rather have them, and they can all fill that fullback berth.
Yeah, but that's all they can do. And I just think...
What do you mean it's all they can do?
No, that's not fair, actually, because Daly can do a lot, can't he?
Daly had a couple of years playing fullback at Wasps.
Yeah. But Daly's primarily a 13. He does maybe give you the flexibility that
Good
does.
He's an international winger as well.
Yeah, fair. So they've in the 33-man squad, they've only picked one fullback. They've only picked Mike Brown, who's an out-and-out fullback, although you've got Noel and you've got Watson and you've got Daly, who can all fill in. And then in 45, you extend the one fullback to two with Brown and Mike Haley.
So if Brown goes down, who do you think is the most likely?
I think Daly will most likely to be on the bench.
Yeah. Well, his versatility.
He would just fit straight in.
Cover everywhere outside.
Do you not
12.
Think
12? Yeah.
Do you not think though that busy style that Noel has and demonstrated against Bath would be perfect for 15?
Yes, but I think he needs to get more game time there at Premiership level. Because he's played a lot on the wing.
Is that not the case for all of them, though?
No, I think you take a little bit away from Jack Noel if you put him at fullback, because fullback has to
be more disciplined.
Has to have that wide view of the field and stay back quite a lot more. Whereas Jack Noll, the way he played against Bath, just going looking for work. And that's one of the things Rocco said, that Eddie Jones had said to him. He said, you've got to go looking for more work. And you saw the example of what Eddie Jones was talking about in Jack Noll's performance. He was popping up on the inside shoulder of 10 loads, taking it off of the base of Rucks on the opposite wing. So I think that's what Eddie Jones is clearly looking for. Jack Noll gives him that, but I don't think he would give him that at fullback. Anthony Watson, I think if everyone's fit at Bath, Anthony Watson starts at fullback for Bath.
Yeah, he does.
Not to Homer.
No.
No, not when everyone's fit.
So who would you have on your wings?
Banners and Rocco.
Aled Brew.
Yeah, Brew's actually playing pretty
Aled
well.
Aled Brew might even come back into Welsh contention, which sounds mental.
If you'd have said that 18 months ago, it would have sounded completely mental. He couldn't even get game time at the Dragons.
But is he really that much worse than Alex Cuthbert? Am I really that much worse than Alex Cuthbert?
Yes. Good question.
So I think if Mike Brown's down, Anthony Watson's England's fullback. Well, no, probably I agree with Phil. Elliot Daly.
And
Anthony Watson. Because you get that boot on the field as well.
Yeah.
Tight games, 50 metres.
Very, very true. And the other interesting one is the back row. So because Billy Vunipola is injured, he's out of the 33-man squad. So you've got Nathan Hughes and Josh Beaumont are the two number eights.
Josh Beaumont's not having a good season.
No. Bring in Zach Mercer. Hear me now, believe me later.
Zach Mercer is eligible for New Zealand as well.
Yeah, I thought... Is his dad New Zealand?
Dad's an All Black.
I thought his dad was a rugby league player.
His dad was an All Black?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No wonder he's so good.
Yes.
Get that boy in.
Get him capped, quick.
Yeah. I mean, if he's... If you're starting eight for Bath, and I know Faletau might be carrying an injury and Dave Denton might be carrying an injury, but they have got good options at eight. I'm not entirely sure anyone's going to be moving Zach Mercer anytime soon.
Well, it's interesting because... It appears that Blackadder's kind of given him bit by bit introduction. So he's only started a couple of games, and he started a couple of games in Europe.
He captained the team in the LV Cup.
Did he?
Yeah, I know it's.
And so he's getting a good rugby education. I know he's doing it the right way.
Very early to say, judge Blackadder in any way, really. But he's done very well getting Charlie Ulls, although he had experience last year in inter squad. Zach Mercer. And the other one is Max Clark, who I really like.
Oh, is the centre.
He's full of life. But
he's not a bad player at all. Yeah. Mm. But his game time will be limited because they brought in Benny Tapps.
As for the England back row situation.
Yeah.
You say Beaumont's the kind of number eight. Second number eight. As for the flankers, you've still got Tamala Harrison's in as an injury replacement. Haskell's back in.
Yeah.
Despite having not played.
Yeah.
So we're expecting his comeback pretty soon. Tom Wood retains his place.
Yeah, deservedly so.
Deservedly so.
Chris Robshaw.
Mike Williams is back.
And Mike Williams.
That's the one.
Mike Williams strikes me as the man who doesn't quite have the class. Like, he is like just a tiny bit below the rest of them.
A little bit like... I mean, Ed Slater, I think, is going to be one of those guys who... gets as close as you can get to getting an England cap without getting an England cap in your career.
Yeah. Like Pete Anglesey.
Like Dan Ward-Smith. I think that'll be Ed Slater's legacy internationally, is that he was in a lot of England squads and was injured when he would have played. I wonder if Mike Williams might end up the same, although Mike Williams is still very young. A really abrasive guy.
Thing is, the reason I think that might not happen is... he's basically been plucked out of nowhere and identified by Jones as a seven, which is bizarre because I don't think he really plays seven much. He's a six or maybe an eight he's down by Opta as a second row. So the fact that he's been identified early on by Jones makes me think that there are plans for him.
Mm. Yeah, he probably displays a lot of the characteristics that he wants. But I'd say part of that is the fact that both Don Armand and Dave Ewers have been injured so much the last year.
Do you think he'd play Don
Armand? Is Don Armand in the 45-man squad?
No, neither of them are in the wider squad.
Do you think Don Armand or Dave Ewers, if fit, would be considered in this rather bizarre seven role?
Don Armand.
Well, they're both...
Don Armand plays seven.
They both play a lot like Mike Williams. That big kind of big ball carrier, work incredibly hard, six/second row/...
Can carry a bit.
Utility back row.
Hear me now, believe me later. Next year... the seven will be coming from Gloucester. And it's not going to be Kvesic.
We've talked about Carl Burns many times.
Just fits too well.
He does. the abrasive, if he wants that abrasive ball carrying.
Silverback.
The silverback. 17 stone animal.
17 stone animal.
Sorry,
19 stone animal.
Sorry.
He has a slight Liam Williams running gait to Carl Ferns. But he just, you know how zombies run in 28 Days Later? That's how Carl Ferns runs with the ball. It's frightening.
He reminds me more of, do you know when David Attenborough did that famous scene with the gorillas and the gorilla just charges? That's more like it.
Yeah, I'm with you. So Alex Good, like, it feels like what's happening at the minute is the rugby world is just trying to make you look silly, JB. Because Sale...
It's been doing that for ages,
Sale,
hasn't it?
Sale, the best team with ball in hand in the league, are having an abysmal couple of months.
Well, yeah, they've lost 8 in a row, haven't they?
They've lost 8 in a row. They're having an abysmal time of it. They're not attacking well at all.
No. They're not defending well now. This is the new thing.
Yeah, well, they're not doing anything. let's not get too deep into what the point I was making. And now, Alex Good. So you got...
So hang on, let me just get the gist of this argument. JB, you look like an idiot. Let's not get too deep into it and move on.
No. I'm talking more generally.
I'm happy with that.
I'm saying it feels like the rugby world is just trying to make you look silly. So the Sale Sharks thing and the Alex Good thing, you've been bigging him up so much. So does it hurt seeing him dumped out the squad?
No, it just means that Eddie Jones doesn't really fancy him for whatever reason it is. I mean, I still meant
to. You were going to say Eddie Jones doesn't really know what he's talking about.
No, he definitely knows what he's talking about. He just must have a plan, and fortunately, Alex Good, the way he plays, doesn't fit into it. But I still think Alex Good is a fine, fine player. And if he wants to, you know, increase his England chances, he probably needs to move to Sale with George Ford.
The interesting thing about Eddie Jones, he does seem to have these very set kind of characteristics he's looking for in each of his positions. If you've heard him talk about his wingers, he says he wants one without an out pace and one who is a workhorse. So that really fits with your Jack Knowles, your workhorse, and your Anthony Watson or your Johnny May as your out and out pace.
Yeah, see, this is I think you're right there, because this is the confusing one. Why is Johnny May still in consideration?
He's been class.
Class for England.
Class for England,
I find it amazing that a guy who's very good at what he does.
No. His defensive performance in the autumn was superb. Well, that was another one of the 2017 rugby predictions. I was just trying to find it, saying Johnny May to make the full-time blindside flanker.
Johnny May can do some amazing things, right? So, would you have May or Watson? I'm going to go Watson. Would you have May or Long? I'd have not. Would you have May or Rocco?
I think the future is Watson fullback. Noel right, May left.
I think that's Rocco, though.
I think that is 2 years down the line, that future, or maybe 3 years down the line. And it might Brown, for the foreseeable, will be the fullback. Watson needs more game time and he needs better game management. Because Mike Brown, one of the best things he does is the introduction of the boot at the right time. He knows when to go forward, he knows when to beat a man, he knows when to make the pass, and he knows when to kick.
This must be painful again to listen to. Like, the options that Eddie Jones has is ridiculous. And Wales are struggling to find a backline that can play.
We're looking to, I don't know, goodness knows. Hadley Parks will be qualified soon, I think. So,
2017 rugby predictions, Matt Merritt. Sick of Barista Sheik's success. Sippers and Gavin Henson form a Robson and Jerome style crooning duo. I can see that happening. Kai says New Zealand revealed to be in secret sponsorship agreement with Wonder Mop. Michael Checker to get so upset he spontaneously combusts during a press conference. And then a little bit of briefly circling back to Eddie Jones. Jerry says on Twitter, at Rugby Podcast, Eddie Jones to say something controversial and then be praised in the English press about how he's unafraid to be controversial. That's from Irish Jerry O'Donovan. And one more. Paul Simmons, Ford off to Wasps along with Burns, Williams and others to create a 15 of fly halves at the Rico.
That'd be nice.
Goody to come out of retirement to play prop.
Actually, do you want to quickly just switch over? In fact, shall we talk about some of the transfer rumours in the Premiership? Because you mentioned Williams then, and you mentioned who was the other one?
We mentioned Ferns.
All right, well, let's briefly throw on the table all everything we know about.
Because that's going to be interesting, but why don't we mention Cornerstone first?
That's a great idea. We got so many pictures over the festive period of people who opened up a wonderful... It feels like a special gift when you open that Cornerstone box.
It does.
It's the beautiful box that they send it all.
It's the quality.
It was quality all over. That's what Cornerstone do. It's the number one razor in the market. That's not us saying an opinion, although it is our opinion. That is fact. We need to get the fact button back.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, good point.
I'll work on that.
XFM's still have the fact button somewhere.
I'll find it. I'll find it on the system somewhere. So, yeah, it is a fact. It's beaten Wilkinson Sword and Gillette at the GQ Awards for Best Razor, and you can get it for £4. You can get your brand new engraved aluminium shaft for free with your initials on it or whatever else you would like, and 6 wonderful Cornerstone razors in a brilliant presentation box delivered to your door. And then in future months, you can have whatever order you want, although there's absolutely no obligation, but £4 because you get a £10 discount with your first order because you're listening to us. All you need to do to take advantage of this is go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That is cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or
Egg10 at checkout.
Right, rumour mills. Let's just throw all the information in. Like, let's just chuck it all on the table. So Owen Williams to Gloucester, I believe, is done.
Good. Is that right?
I believe
Ooh.
So.
Ooh, good.
Val Rapava Ruskin, loosehead prop, highly rated, Georgian, but qualified for England, going to Gloucester, big money. Sale Sharks desperately wanted him. They offered a load of cash, but
really?
Gloucester offered more. Huge sums of money for that one.
For a relatively young, relatively untested prop, albeit he's had a very good heritage already in his relatively short career.
Yeah. Okay.
What else are we talking? The George Ford to Sale won't go away. I wonder if...
It's done.
I know. Sale are confident it's done, but look at Sale. I don't know. I
tell you what, you throw George Ford in there, we're talking about top four team.
In the championship next year when they get relegated.
Not so sure.
So what else are we hearing?
Ben Morgan to Exeter.
Is that been resurrected, that rumour?
Well, I don't know.
Hasn't he signed a new deal with Gloucester for next year?
I thought he'd died a death.
Sorry, the one you're thinking of is Kvezic, because I've heard nothing about that.
Yeah, that was kind of thought to be done, wasn't it? The Exeter, Kvezic to Exeter deal.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I actually think the Williams to Gloucester one is very interesting, because Tigers lean on Williams an awful lot, and I don't think they ever meant to. I think they thought Burns is going to come in and be their starter for the next few years. And it makes you think, have they got someone else up their sleeve? Is there another 10 somewhere that they quite like? Not as a starter, but as a bit part kind of guy. Owen Williams makes a tremendous amount of sense going to Gloucester, because, of course, they've lost Hook. And I'm not entirely sure that Billy Burns is the guy that they were looking for. But it also means that all the rumours about Ford going there could be gone overnight.
Yeah. Oh, they are. The rumours, yeah. Ford and Gloucester.
Really? Because I've heard very, very recently that Gloucester are still trying.
But also, Bath are still trying to retain Ford.
No, are they?
Kirtley Beale to Bath.
Is what? A rumour.
Who?
It's a rumour.
Where's that one from?
I'd heard it about, and then it popped up in the rugby paper.
In the rugby
as well.
Paper, your mate,
the Fist. The
yeah,
Fist.
So he obviously heard it from the same people that I'd heard it from, because he doesn't break news. He just he's good at
oh, behave. He does break news. He's a premium newsbreaker in all of rugby gossip.
Stop it! Just because you text him for team news on your fantasy rugby team.
I do not text
Tom
him for
Brady,
team
Tom Brady
news.
That you get in touch with for team news, isn't it?
I don't get in touch with anyone for team news, because it's in their contract, and we wouldn't like to put anyone's contracts at
obviously. No,
so Bath, if Ford goes, which I think they're still trying to keep him. I don't think it's a 100% certainty that he will go. If he goes, they'll be looking for someone else, and I don't think they'll see Priestland as a starter.
No, just
one thing.
Kirtley Beale, or...
in one more year, George Ford can go wherever he wants.
Yes,
if it were me, if he was desperate to leave Bath and he couldn't, like.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You can understand the personal reasons with his dad. They sacked his dad, all the rest of it. I would maybe try and swallow that pride for an extra year and have my pick of where I wanted to go.
Yeah.
Any of the 11 Premiership clubs, rather than only who Bruce Craig will let you go to.
Yeah, I'm completely with you there. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I just have a feeling, and I've got nothing to back this up, I've just got a feeling that the higher-ups in Bath are not good to deal with. And when you hear about lads who have left Bath and the reasons that they've left Bath, you then start to ask questions, well, is it a happy camp? What are these guys like to deal with at board level? And I don't think that they're particularly nice. Or particularly easy to get on with.
If Bath are looking for a 10, mm-hmm. a starting 10, a world-class 10, there might be one available from Blackadder's home nation.
Cruden.
Aaron Cruden.
Yeah, because that's been widely spoke about now.
It's been spoke about that he is looking for a big money move because he's not first choice.
Well, he's not looking for a medium money move or even a small money move.
Not a small money move, definitely.
Wow.
He's not first choice for the All Blacks anymore.
Nope.
And there'll be offers on the table for France, but perhaps Bath could be a very good fit.
Yeah. The other guy as well, who I'm sure needs to go, is Priestland. And if you've got a club like Worcester, like I think Sale would bite their hand off now, you know, to take
Priestland.
I mean, yeah. If you look at the start of the year, I mean, they're not going to do it now because they're going to take Ford. But if you look at the start of the year, maybe approaching Bath for Priestland would have been a good idea.
Would Priestland be a better move for Sale? Because we see the difference between Sale with Cipriani, who wasn't in the England squad and played every game for them. And we see the difference when they don't have him. Priestland would play every game. He might not be as good as Ford, but he would be a more consistent option.
Well, no, because Priestland's been dropped from Wales, no? So we're not going to see Priestland in Wales. Well,
that's what I'm... That's my point.
Yeah, completely right. Now, I won't put him in a Sale shirt because I know you're all sick of me talking about just Sale, but think about it for, like, Worcester. They are desperate for a consistent starting 10. Ryan Lamb's been out. They've looked at Mills.
Mills played well this weekend.
Oh, he's a good player. He's a damn good player. But again, he's been injured. You've got Heathcote, who's been injured and not a consistent kicker.
Shilcock, fullback's been playing at 10. He looks like a class player.
But he's only 19-20, isn't he? 19, 20,
I think they've got a lot of class players. I think Mills is very, very good too.
But they need... They're the kind of players that need a few seasons of consistent game.
Mm. Yeah, it's hard to see, isn't it? When will they outclass a team?
Who hard Priestland, for argument's sake, or who hard Ford, or whatever? You put two really experienced halfbacks, and then suddenly Teo, Heem, Pennell becomes a really potent backline.
Yeah, and they get the pack into the right areas of the field.
Yeah, that's their biggest work on, get their pack doing basic lifting and jumping in lineouts. that is their big work on, just basics.
So yeah, if you hear any other rumours or maybe you have a little wish list for your club.
Oh, sorry, I do have
good
one more.
Best fit score.
I've got a Australian scrum half going to Bristol. Can't remember his name. Should I find his name now? Quickly.
What, Phipps?
No, Western Force lad, I think.
Western Force, I don't know.
Give me 2 seconds, I'll find
him. When does Super Rugby start? Is that February?
It is.
It is, yeah. End of January, start of February. Which is a very good point, Tim, which we should probably mention. Fantasy Rugby Draft.
Is it probably a bit late to start now?
Albie Matheson.
Well, you can start any time. We're just over halfway through the Premiership season, but the Super Rugby season kicks off in 3 weeks' time, and the game opens on January the 12th.
Fantasy Rugby Draft.
Super Rugby.
I might do that just to keep
my knowledge. My knowledge. I mean, our Premiership knowledge is pretty strong. But I think
it's a different level now.
We know every nuance of every squad player in every side as a result of playing fantasy rugby draft.
I really hope this story is true. But there was a story making the rounds a few years ago. I can't remember. It was an AC Milan defender. And I want to say it was like Maldini or someone. And they said, oh, what's his striker like? And he said, yeah, he's got 20 on Champ Man.
Yeah, no. I think it was... There was two things. There was one, Graham Souness signed signed George Weah's brother because he was George Weah's brother, and that was it. But there was another one where there was a... If someone knows the story, there was a footballer that was signed because on Championship Manager, he was amazing. and he played. He got put in on the pitch and got taken off after 15 minutes.
It is genuine.
Never played again. I think it was for Southampton.
Oh yeah. George Weah's cousin, but he wasn't.
I think
really
it was George Weah's
cousin.
Cousin. Wasn't but really
also
his cousin.
It was Tom Mann thing. Have you heard the one? I'll be quick about the fly half that was signed because Steve Diamond's mate said that he was pretty good. You heard about that?
No.
Yeah, AJ McGinty. it's quite incredible.
Well, no, AJ McGinty is not the problem at Sale Sharks.
He is the problem.
He was.
He's a good player. He was not for sale.
Well, yeah, exactly, not for sale.
Yeah, he's a great player, but not for sale.
Well, yeah, so I don't think you blame AJ McGinty for sale.
No, I didn't blame AJ McGinty at all. Yeah.
Do you blame Steve Diamond at all?
No, Pat Lamb was deliberately misleading.
Do you blame Steve Diamond for terrible recruitment? And
let's get off sale. Yeah, let's amazing. Get off sale.
Yeah. Amazing recruitment.
Anyway, yeah,
Pat Lamb for lying.
Fantasy rugby draft.
Yeah.
Fantasy rugby draft. Get 10 of your mates. Get on there.
Nine mates.
Get on the Avicii Premiership for the last 10 games of the season or start your Super Rugby from next week. And when you create a team, put egg in your team title. Ooh. And we will be doing a stash draw in a couple of weeks' time.
I have news. I am in South Africa in April, I think from like April 7th or something. And it happens to coincide that I am in Cape Town when the Stormers play the Jaguares.
Really?
Oh, wow. Are you taking the jersey from the dungeon with you?
I don't know what to do. The problem is, it's on the actual day of my mate's wedding. And
weddings are not important, is it?
People think I'm joking. I mean, people actually think I'm joking that I would go to this game. I might go to this game.
You'd be at the reception in the evening.
Yeah, just... Well, they don't last long, do they? Like, go to ceremony.
Two hours.
I could get to the game. I could get back to reception. I don't think that's out of order. This is my job, right?
Exactly.
Right, guys?
If you tell them now, they've got enough time. But you're saving them the wedding breakfast money.
Exactly.
Whatever that is ahead. And however many rand that would be.
And I think the Sharks are playing when I'm in Durban. So I'm definitely going to be out there to see a game.
Oh, amazing. Mm.
Why is that important?
Where are we at? Any other any other transfer stuff? You would sound like you were going to say one more, Phil.
Albie Mathewson to Bristol. He is a scrum half for the Force, I think.
Okay. Well, the other one is Ben Smith. He's been touted around both Munster and the French clubs, and apparently there's a deal on the table from Pau.
Pau.
According to...
Pau.
Who is the rather excellent journalist? Gavin Mortimer.
Yeah.
What's his name has extended his contract. I say what's his name because I can't remember his name.
Comrade Smith
has extended his contract.
And Mar Nonu. Staying at Toulon.
But that just means that Ben Smith can't go or won't go.
Gotcha.
So it looks like Munster.
Because he can only have one Smith there at a time.
Exactly right, yeah. It's a Smith quota.
Yeah.
And they don't want too many Anglophones there.
And is it the Smith and Jones? Is that the same? Same quota for Joneses?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
So they're searching for available Joneses.
Mm.
While we just mentioned Toulon there and Mar Nonu staying,
God.
Amazing moment. So Lee Halfpenny just before half time.
There was a few amazing moments in this game.
Yeah.
This was truly incredible.
So Toulon had just scored. They're 11-6 up, and I can't. Why am I pressing it and it's not working?
Yeah.
This was incredible.
I've seen it. It is mad, isn't it?
I thought there was something wrong. I was watching it on my laptop in the kitchen. I thought there was something wrong with my laptop. What's going on?
Why is it not playing? I can't get it to play. Oh, this is devastating. Disappointed. There we go. Lee Halfpenny just lining up the kick, staring at the post. Just about to start his run-up.
I'm a 90% kicker, what are you doing?
And pushes it wide.
Okay, so I've got a lot of grief this week on Twitter, a lot of grief for claiming that the Pro 12 is a hobby league. Now, I'm just going to restate my position. Their teams are great, they're professional, the league is diabolical. And this week, the Ospreys game nearly didn't go ahead because the pitch was not the suitable standard. The French top 14. Now, the league is very good, but the teams, my God... I mean, who plays music as your kicker's about to kick?
I know. It was the home team. It was
the home team.
It was Toulon. And he just, if you watch the video, he just takes his first step of the run-up. He's just into his stride.
Yeah.
And it blares out.
I mean, they
volume.
Don't win away from home. If the Pro 12 is the hobby league, the top 14 are hobby teams.
Did you see the other ludicrous thing before the game in the Toulon.
Oh, incredible! I loved it. Oh, was this ludicrous? I loved it. the Racing 92 team
had champagne
in their blazers and their kit.
Both teams came out full kit with blazers on.
Which is beautiful.
But then the Racing president pours all of the players a glass of champagne before they play a professional game of rugby.
It's amazing.
They toast the new year with a glass. I'm pretty sure champagne isn't isotonic.
Maybe they put some mix in or something.
The great thing about the little video clip I saw of that is they all put their glasses up and they're all in a big huddle. And then they all pull their glasses down and you can see Dan Carter's face just looking so confused in the background. And he doesn't drink. Everyone else takes a swig. Dan Carter's just looking like, what the hell is going on?
Over the shoulder, one of those.
That clip, Tim, what was the time? What was the time of the kick?
It was half time.
Right. Do you know what it is?
Is it like a siren?
Yeah. They changed their siren and someone forgot to turn it off.
So that hits 40.
That hit 40. And thank you to whoever on Facebook Live has just told me that.
Oh, fantastic.
But
surely there should just be an override button.
I kind of think that they've got it all wrong. Racing and Toulon and all these things, which are basically teams that are rich people's playthings, should go and play in the Pro 12. And then the serious teams in the Pro 12, like Leinster, should play in the top 14.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. That would be the best league and the best teams.
It would be a great league.
I've saved the Pro 12 three or four times and not one person has taken up any of my recommendations yet.
Not yet.
Not one.
Did you see the other incredible thing in the Toulon Racing game?
The Bastero.
Bastero forward. Oh my God. Forward roll.
Bast mode.
Right, yeah. I do. I have been on record of saying this a long time ago, consistently. Bastero has these games where he is just unstoppable. But now you're going to have to wait for the next three games when he's going to be terrible. If you say four or five games, he just looks like, how can you play that thing?
Yeah.
How can you play him?
It was not a good game at all, but him and Nonu were the best players on the pitch by a long way.
Imagine how good he'd be.
But I don't think he would. 18
stone, not 20 stone.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll tell you who's lost weight, and I don't think he's quite a good... Well, he's only been playing for a few days and games, and now he's
Manu Tuilagi?
Yeah, Manu. He looks so much smaller. Does anyone else think that?
He was leaner.
A lot leaner.
We'll wait and see. We'll wish him the best with his scan. It was quite funny, Richard Cockerell in the post-match thing, I sort of said, what's the latest on Manu? And he went... Well, the good news is his groin's fine.
Yeah.
I don't care. I've been fired. Interesting.
What did he play? 7 minutes?
Yeah.
He had one very good run, and then his knee gave up.
Oh, horrendous.
He didn't even look bad. I mean, they were showing the replays on BT Sport, and it didn't look like a particularly bad knock.
No, but he really limped off.
Yeah, and he had to be carried into the changing.
Yeah.
And by the way, we were talking EPS. Rocco is the guy that replaces him in the England squad.
Yeah, so he's been called into the England squad for 2 days. Yeah. He managed to be there, and now he's injured.
Yep. What a shame.
I know.
Where are we at? Let's not dwell too long on all the games, but there was a full schedule of Pro 12 matches, Hobby and Avicii League matches. So let's go through those. Briefly touching on these are the derby matchups, weren't they, in the Pro 12, apart from Scotland, who had a nice little trip to Italy. Maybe they shared a plane and they chartered it together.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And then nice New Year celebrations in Italy.
Yeah, that would be lovely, actually.
Stuart Hogg played 10 and got man of the match.
Did he?
Against Zebra.
He's played 10 for the Lions.
Yeah. I was thinking about that the other day, actually, because last time round, I'm sure the Lions only took two 10s and Hogg was the third 10. It was Farrell and Sexton.
Because Farrell can play 10 and 12, I think they'll take three
10s. Yeah.
Let me just think. The Italian team's actually put some points on the board here, which is relatively impressive.
Both got losing bonus points.
The Ospreys game nearly didn't happen because the pitch was described as unplayable by the match officials, but it did go ahead.
And it was 10-0.
10-0.
High scoring.
Did someone get a milestone in that game? I'm sure someone got 300 appearances or something. Something happened.
Oh, was it not Bigger scored 2,000 points?
Yeah, something happened, but I don't really know about it.
Oh, no, it was Stephen Myler was the 300 appearances. He scored the
winning kick. 300 appearances.
And Leinster beat Ulster.
Let's not talk about it.
Comfortably.
Tell me this, right? Where are Leinster and Ulster in the table?
Fourth, fifth.
Something like that.
Would it not make more sense to put
six now.
To put your best team out? with all the minutes that you've got available against Munster, try and turn them over and then put a weakened team out against Ulster?
Well, they play...
I think it would make better sense to man up a little bit and just play your best team for 2 weeks in a row and then rest them against the Italians.
See, I got something a little bit wrong last week when I was having a little whinge about Leinster, which is the IRB... The IRFU have actually got minutes. They allocate minutes to these players. So a couple of them couldn't play for reasons like, you know, childbirth and the rest of it. And others couldn't play because they didn't have the available minutes. But, of course, they did have the available minutes. So I've subsequently found out that the minutes weren't an issue. People like Sean O'Brien had enough minutes to play, they just decided not to play him.
Just decided to rest them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is the whole thing we made last week. Just rest them against the Italian teams. Yeah. Or against Dragons.
Well, they've got Zebre next week, I think. Or
You get... So they have four dead games out of 12. So just rest them on those games. Yeah. It's not rocket science.
And then just let the boys play.
But they did gave your boys a good hiding, though.
They certainly did. Ulster scored through Pier Tower in the last few minutes, but it was very
and
much
one-way
traffic.
What was the Ulster team like?
Rested a few players, but still good enough. Right, still good enough to perform better than they did.
Fine. Right, okay, so that's Pro 12. The Welsh team's played. So shall we talk about...
Premiership. Let's briefly go through them. So Sale lost at home to Bristol. We've already mentioned it.
Can I just say, add this? On the Bristol side, this was hell of a performance.
After going, 12-0, 14-0 down?
Yeah, now, obviously they were struggling against Worcester a few weeks ago, so they did what they always do to make themselves play better, got a red card. Well, they had a few sticky periods against Sale, so they did what they should have done, is get two yellow cards.
Yeah.
And that basically got them back into it. They played better with 14 than 15. But it is a remarkable achievement. Back-to-back wins.
Yeah. And there's four wins on the bounce now, including their European games.
Huge adversity. And Jason Woodward is a very, very classy player.
I wish he cut his hair a bit, because he keeps... You watch Jason Woodward next time you see. He does that little thing where he blows his fringe off of his hair with... He does that when he's just lining up kicks. He just goes...
But if you slot the match-winning conversion from the touchline, as he did, with that much pressure on you, you can do what you want.
Do what the hell you want. Yeah. Tom Vandell equaled Mark Cueto's all-time Premiership try-scoring record.
Cueto was there as well at the ground.
Reluctantly.
Yeah. Can imagine
it'd be bad form if he wasn't, though.
He's the marketing director. For
I thought that was Steve Hanley.
A commercial director.
He has got a behind-the-scenes role now.
Steve Hanley is no longer with the club.
Oh, is he not?
No.
Why is that? Because there's a higher-scoring winger who wanted the same role.
Yeah, exactly. If Steve Hanley had been the all-time Premiership try-scorer, he would have got the job. But it's like, well, sorry, Steve.
Oh, so where's Steve Hanley?
He's doing his own thing.
I can just imagine when Vandell scored that, Cueto kicking Steve Diamond's Alsatian under the table. And then after the game, Tom Vandell goes up to like shake hands and Cueto just blanks.
We're not going to get into a long conversation about Sale Sharks, but just to say, if pressure, I think, again, with new ownership, fresh money, it's not just the results on the pitch, although ultimately that is all that matters. They are playing dreadfully. The recruitment has been misguided. The crowds are absolutely abysmal. And I don't know how it's going to get harder and harder for Steve Diamond to make excuses if
he's
this
not making excuses.
Continues. He is.
He's very, very open. He said exactly why they are losing. Look, here's the long and the short of it. I'd like to meet the man who's going to get in a car, drive to Carrington, get out that car, go into Steve Diamond's building, even though he might own it, and then fire Steve Diamond.
Exactly.
It'd be done by a text from like a nuclear bunker.
They'll have to sell the training ground, get a new
ground. That's what will happen. A brand new campus, new staff, new players.
Have you seen the Chernobyl they've just completed?
What's it called? Sarcophagus?
Yeah, they've just completed this like 10-foot thick iron bunker around Chernobyl. You're going to have to do that around Carrington when Steve Diamond's in
there. I think
there.
So. Kill it with fire. Kill it with fire.
He was heavily influential in the deal being done with the new owners. He's on the board of directors.
He's not going nowhere.
He's not just a deal. What I can see happening maybe is, do you remember a few years ago, Steve Diamond went up and Brian Redpath came in as the DOR and he was the chief exec.
But Brian Redpath was at the game. Let's not talk about sales.
No,
what I was going to say is, what I can see happening is Jim Mallinder shaking hands with Northampton at the end of the season and going to sale as the director of rugby, Steve Diamond moving upstairs.
I don't think they get on, but maybe they do. Who knows?
The other games, we touched on Worcester, Harlequins. Great performance, Worcester. Yeah.
Okay.
Leicester, obviously.
Benteo finally did follow up on his kind of words. Yeah.
Well, he was warned on the podcast last week, so.
And he definitely performed. Leicester obviously lost to Saracens, which led to Cockerell being fired. Gloucester lost at home to Northampton.
Bad result, that.
It is a really bad result.
Really, it's a great result for Northampton, albeit the highlights I've seen, it's not a pretty game.
Yeah, David Humphreys himself, what was the phrase he used last week before the Quins game? Was it before Big Game 9? He said, the next three games are season-defining. And he's just lost.
He's not wrong.
Quins away, and he's lost at home to a struggling Saints side. I think that puts him in a similar position to where Richard Cockerell would have been, maybe even worse.
Tell me this: what do Gloucester need to turn it around for next year?
10.
A 10?
Big time. They need a 10. Owen Williams, is he the answer? We'll wait and see.
Yeah, I think you're right, because there's a saying in the NFL: if you've got two quarterbacks, you've got none. And Gloucester have Atkinson. They have Burns. They've tried 12 trees. They've tried Hook at 10 this season. So, yeah, you're right.
They've tried Laidlaw as well.
Yeah, have they at 10?
At 10.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. So, I think 10's a good shout. Anything else?
A loose head prop, which they're getting, Rapava Ruskin.
Oh, he's a tight head.
He's a loose head. Okay. They've got young McAllister, well, relatively young.
He's going to be the best scrummager, by the way.
Yeah, he might be a very good scrummager, but whatever's happening in that front row, it's not working. It's not working consistently.
They need
anyway.
A lock, a really like a Cruz or a Toji or Vitalik. like obviously you're not going to get that, but like a really athletic.
Oh, can I?
Yeah.
Can
we just
all court playing.
Can we just
lock?
Say a couple more things about the Leicester Saracens game, because I've not had time to eulogise about Toji yet. The man is quite possibly a deity. How does he do what he does? I mean, did you see the slide tackle?
Yeah.
Who even thinks to do that? How is it even on his radar to do that? Who taught him?
Yeah, I think Saracens are trying to tie up a new deal for him because Chelsea are interested.
Yeah. I mean,
as a centre-half.
If his next deal isn't record-breaking, I don't mean in terms of money, but in terms of length, 7 years, guaranteed.
And he has the kind of mentality that you think with some players, you'd rather keep them on a rolling one-year deal because they'll just get complacent, won't try.
Yeah.
Whereas
he's just amazing. He's just...
Yeah.
And the more I watch him, the more amazing he gets. Like, he charged down, what, two kicks? He just intervenes in everything. He was always the scrum half.
His line-outs were incredible. His defence. Some of the tackles he makes, snaffling the fullback or the wingers when it's one-on-one and he just wraps them up.
Ben Youngs, right? I mean, did you see it when Demi and Go are running to him and him. Who is it? Atoji
and Skelton.
Skelton, come on, Ben.
But he didn't even run in. So this was one of Ben Youngs. He has his truly world-class moments and then his...
This,
what he did. And there was a few things he did. Like the pass for the Owen Farrell try.
Yeah.
But that one where he dummies and goes 5 metres from the Saracen line and just runs slowly upright into a Skelton and Itoji.
What was he thinking when he hit contact? Oh, yeah, I'll just go to ground now. No, you won't.
I've got a lot of appreciation for the whole Saracen squad and everything. So my position during the game as the reporter was in the dugout on the Saracen side, the very, very far left. I had one seat on my own with a monitor.
Is that where the jelly babies are?
Oh yeah, obviously.
So you're right next to the Saracens bench.
I'm in the Saracens bench. Uh-huh.
Did you have to hide your microphone in case Alex Sanderson ripped it off? He loves a microphone.
He's really good. He's really good. I could see him being tried to. So I don't think Saracens will let him go, but I think I could see clubs trying to get him as a DOR.
Interesting.
But I was on the right at the one end of the Saracens dugout, so you've got all the players lined up, all the staff around, the little watt bike for warm-ups was sort of right in front of me, and I had this little monitor. But the camaraderie in that bunch of lads, just that group of men, the coaches, the kit man, they are so tight. And they're so well-humoured and they're so encouraging. Like, I've never heard so much noise from a bench constantly through the game. They were all chopping and say, oh, well, you know, top work, Shaunie. When it was Sean Maitland was on that touchline, you know, even if he just messed up, they were all clapping, cheering, go on, Shaunie, nail him this next time. You know, they would. I love that. You can see why they're a champion club.
You do feel it when they, you know, when you get a chance to watch them. It, you know, it's quite obvious, actually.
Yeah, that's what going on the piss 4 or 5 times a year as a group of lads does.
Damn right.
Yeah.
With that in mind, we need to sort out Romania.
Oh, yeah, we do, actually.
I have been getting DMs from people going, is Romania definitely happening? Because I need to know if we need to book it.
I'm only back from South Africa for 2 days, and then I go to Romania, potentially.
No, that's March is Romania, isn't it?
April, late April, isn't it?
No, March. March 17th of March.
Oh, is it?
Paddy's Day. The day of the England...
So I'm in Romania, then 2 days, and then South Africa. Either or. Okay.
The other results from...
Bath-Exeter, we need to talk about.
Yeah, we'll just touch on these briefly, because we've been going for quite a while. So Bath, 11-0 in the first half.
Yep.
Exeter, 17-0 in the second half.
Exeter did an extraordinary job in this game of just about staying in touch. So with about 10 minutes to go, it felt to me like Exeter could get back into this, because you just don't execute your chances. You just don't put the game out of reach. Well, that was Bath.
Yeah.
They had plenty of line-out ball. They had plenty of possession. And they didn't do a lot with it. And I just thought, if Exeter can get a quick try, which they did, it's on. And then that last try was awesome.
The Steenson flick with two men on him. The ball at his toes and he flicks through his legs.
I mean, the first time I saw that, I thought Bath had tried to disrupt it and kick it through.
Did you?
Yeah. And it's only on the highlights that I noticed what Steenson had done.
Yeah, O'Driscoll-esque piece of skill.
Yeah, it was an incredible win, and I think they should have a best of three. Because the first game went to, 86 minutes?
Yeah.
For Bath to win it, so a third game in a neutral venue. Maybe Twickenham.
Yeah.
Maybe Twickenham in May.
In the final, yeah. Perfect. And then the final game, or the first game, was the Newcastle game.
One thing that some people have been talking about, it doesn't need a long conversation about it, but it came out of the Bath-Exeter game, was Bath spending the last 10 minutes. In between the two Exeter scores, Bath went down to 14 men because the replacement hooker, Van Vuren, had come on as a head injury assessment replacement for Nathan Capp.
That's
it?
Right. Autorak.
Nick Autorak, who failed his HIA. And the laws as they are is as if you have to, if you're the team that
goes uncontested,
that has to go uncontested in the scrums, then you have to lose a player. Yeah, that's been a law for several years now.
Correct.
And I think it's right. But a lot of Bath fans were very unhappy saying, how can that be fair? Because we're doing what you want us to do, which is
protect the player.
No. Anthony Watson said the same
thing.
Yeah,
he tweeted the same thing.
He's wrong, and so are the Bath fans. The fact of the matter is, you have a replacement front row. If you use your replacement front row too early, one of them goes off with injury, you can bring on another. Now, they all went off injured, but they might all have broken ankles, they might all have strained knees.
Exactly. So the fact it was a head injury is irrelevant, because if it was an ankle, no one would be complaining.
Yep.
Just because it's a head injury, and that's been in the news, and... Yeah. Bath followed HIA protocol. Well, what's the suggestion that clubs are going to start denying, like, because it this maybe to loop it round goes back to, I would have maybe liked slightly more to have happened from whether it be, I don't know, was it the RFU to Northampton for their mismanagement of the George North situation.
Can I just tell you
the fact there was no sanctions means clubs actually might go,
hang on a second. I don't think it's fair on Exeter, quite frankly, because if the prop goes down with a broken ankle, off he goes and on comes the next guy and then you drop a player, right? If you have an HIA, you can have the same amount of players for uncontested scrums for 15 minutes because that's how long it takes for an HIA.
Yep.
So if you're getting pumped 65 minutes to go, say it's a head injury, 15 minutes off, and you can have uncontested scrum 15-on-15. The rules need to change, but not in the way that Anthony Watson thinks, in the way that I think, which is as soon as the guy goes down, that will be that.
Interesting.
So.
Interesting.
Where's film gone?
I think he's just gone to the bathroom. He's obviously his New Year's resolution was to stay well hydrated. I think we've rounded up the games anyway, haven't we?
Yeah, shall we do next week's fixtures without Phil?
Yeah, we might as well.
I'll get them up
now. He doesn't really add a lot, does he, let's be fair.
Not really.
No. Except for all reason, logic, and evidence-based opinion.
Okay, so let's start with your favourite league and my favourite league, the Pro 12.
Yes.
So the Titans of the Titans from Newport, the Dragons, face the Giants from Italy, Treviso. How do you see this one going?
Whatever. Move on.
Okay. This is a good game, so maybe we should just give it a bit more respect. Scarlets versus Ulster. In fact, this could be a very good game.
I can't believe you've not mentioned the game that's happening this evening.
What, there's a game this evening?
Between Newport and RGC.
Oh, yeah, there is. Oh, that'd be RGC. That'll be an RGC win.
Yeah, okay, fine. Right, so Friday. So Leinster Zebre, did you say?
Yes.
Yes.
No, sorry. That is after Scarlets Ulster. So let's talk about Scarlets Ulster quickly.
That will be a tasty game, actually.
Ulster need a win.
They have to win. They have to win.
Ospreys Connacht.
I think they will.
Do you know, the Pro 12 is having an ominously predictable look about it. The bottom two teams are the Italians. Next team at the bottom is the Dragons, and sadly it's Connacht. And it doesn't bode well for Connacht versus Ospreys. I think Ospreys are going to give them a bit of a hiding, actually.
On Saturday, that's the lunchtime kickoff.
Yep.
And then a game in the evening. Glasgow haven't been as strong as they were early in the season. Still looking decent, though.
And the return fixture, Cardiff, Glasgow-Cardiff, at Cardiff, was a cracking game.
Glasgow to win at home.
Glasgow to win at home.
Although they have a big, big game the following week, because it's back to Europe. Champions Cup matches.
Yeah, that is true.
And in fact, isn't this weekend the rearranged Champions Cup game between Racing and Munster?
Ah, that's why there's no Munster game.
So
Munster would have been playing who?
Racing, it's in Paris, Racing versus Munster on Saturday, 4:45.
So who is not playing then this weekend in the
Munster and Edinburgh?
Edinburgh. Okay. Right. Anyway, Premiership, Newcastle Bath. Not the foregone conclusion some might have expected.
Definitely not.
And Bath aren't as good away from home.
No.
I've got a quick question.
Newcastle's very good performance against Wasps as well.
Yeah, which we've not even spoke about. But
which is a hell of a game.
Quick question for you then, Newcastle. Doing well. If there's one player from that team that deserves an England call-up, who would it be?
Bearing in mind Mike Williams has made the squad.
Yeah.
Mark Wilson could feel pretty upset, I think.
Yeah. How far behind Mike Williams is Mark Wilson?
I think Mark Wilson's a fantastic player as well.
Yeah.
A good leader. And, maybe those kind of characters would be very, very valuable in an international setup. So, yeah, I think Mark Wilson's probably the most likely.
But if he hasn't and he's been playing as he is he going to?
No. I think Newcastle...
That's the one thing you can say about Eddie Jones. He knows what he wants and he gets what he wants. And if you're not part of that, then tough.
I think Newcastle could win this.
Oh, they undoubtedly could win it.
Will they win it? I'm going to go for a Newcastle win.
Give me Newcastle.
I think I was going to go for Newcastle as well. I mean,
How many players will Bath have to rest because they've been in England camp and they've got Champions Cup the following week?
Yeah,
that's a good shout.
Give me Newcastle.
Well, they've only got Challenge Cup the following week, so they might just
Challenge. Yeah, it is different for Bath, isn't it? Anyway, give me Newcastle.
I'm going to make it interesting. I'll go Bath because they have to, and I think they'll react after that Exeter defeat. Although they will be without Nathan Capp. Yeah. But they might be now with Anthony Watson.
Yeah. And also, Autorac might not have passed HIA. And there's also, I'm still going to go for Newcastle. Saracens.
Where's Henry Thomas as well? Get back fit, Henry Thomas, for goodness sake.
I've not seen him for years.
I know.
Saracens, Saturday. Exeter.
Saracens. At home.
You're missing a few guys, though.
Missing the Vunipolas does make a huge
difference. Although Jackson Ray equated himself very well on the weekend, as he always does.
He's a good player, but he's so different.
Yeah.
Sarries.
Exeter.
Mm. Oh, my word.
Exeter, yeah.
Right, next up.
Northampton, Bristol.
Saints.
Saints. Just.
Saints, yeah. Yeah. Oh, no.
Quinn's Sale. Quinn's at
home.
Got
to be Sale, right?
Quinn's at home.
I can't see past Quinn's, unfortunately.
I think Sale will take... Oh, I don't know.
You're going for 9 weeks incorrect in a row.
Hey, what's the difference? I mean, look, if it was two... If this is my second incorrect guess, I'd add 100% yeah. to my wrong score. It's only marginal.
Only 11% additional.
Yeah. I'm going to go for Sale.
And Gloucester v Worcester.
Worcester. Give me Worcester. At the shed, give me Worcester.
Gloucester.
Gloucester have lost some bad games at home.
They have. They
lost against Newcastle. They obviously lost against Northampton this weekend. Give me Worcester.
Ooh, yeah, I'm going to say Gloucester, but not by a lot.
And last one, Wasps, Leicester.
This is on Sunday, isn't it?
And this will be the first time we see Major picking the team, selecting the tactics, selecting the game plan in its entirety. And we'll see his influence. I think this will be a great game.
I think Wasps are going to hammer them.
I think it could also be a hiding.
I think it's
going to
be absolute hiding. I think we're going to be looking at, give me Wasps by 15 points.
It was quite interesting. Again, Dai Young, he had the luxury of, Cipriani rolled on his ankle, but he stayed on. He stayed on for most of the game.
Stayed on for the first half.
For the first half. Yeah. Thomas Young, all right, well done. You've done your job half time. Off you come.
Yeah.
And on goes another quality player. Alex Reader looks decent. So, and Haskell's expected back soon. They've got just an embarrassment of riches. I cannot see past Wasps. Although I think if the conditions were like they were at Welford Road at the Rico, Leicester have got a better opportunity.
And you often see, when a club loses a director of rugby or in football, when a manager goes, you often see a bit
of
a bounce.
Honeymoon effect, yeah.
Yeah, a bit of a lift.
This is kind of an internal promotion. And how many artificial lifts have Leicester had in Europe, getting an absolute hiding and then bouncing back, and then a hiding and bouncing back? And I just think a loss at home is really going to affect them.
That's the other thing to just factor in is, I know that teams are very good at just looking at this is the next game and everything, and Leicester is a massive game anyway. Leicester at home is a huge game. As they've now kind of, Leicester feel like they've moved in on their turf. There's a bit of very much a rivalry between the two sides anyway because of the history of the two clubs. But looking ahead, and Wasps have got a big game against Toulouse at home that they have to win the following week. Leicester are done in Europe already, so they can just say, right, just give it everything this week and you can take a breather away at Racing the following week.
Okay, and last game of the weekend, Racing versus Munster.
Well,
at Racing.
Munster, aren't Racing already out?
No.
Well, they've not got a single point, have they?
No, but they could win four consecutive games.
Three. So they've got three games. They could maximum...
Oh, three.
Yeah, they could get 15 points.
No,
so
they're out.
You'd say they're out.
So they'll play...
Well, yeah, you'd expect them to rest a few people.
I mean, if
more champagne before kick-off.
Yeah, and then more after.
Yeah.
Cool. There we go. That is the podcast. Any other messages, Tim?
At Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. Just follow us there. You can watch the video of this and any future podcasts on Facebook. And you can subscribe on iTunes and on Acast and all the rest of it. Tell your mates. And thank you very much for listening, pretty much. Cornerstone, Fantasy Rugby Draft, two things you need to go and check out. What else? Nothing else to say.
That's it, we're done.
Other than Happy New Year. Welcome to 2017 in the post a cocker's liptic landscape.
Exactly.
I don't think that's going to catch on.
I think it might do.
We'll see. Nice one, Phil.
Thank you, Tim.
Top man, JB.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that.
Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.